All right. Welcome to HNC Sports. We're back this week, folks. 10:30 Friday mornings. This is High and the Lou, Carson Barnett. We're in for a great show today. We got something in store for you guys. Went well last week, but we're excited for what we got going on this week. A lot of new things going on in the sports world. What do you think, Heine?
I'm just excited to talk about everything that's going on. We're having a fellow Emol, Tabby U, coming in for picks later today, so stay tuned.
That. Tough week last week with the picks. Oh, my gosh. I was struggling waiting for those Sunday games. And oh, my gosh. It was a tough one for Heine and I. Isaiah definitely beat us out. That was, I mean, hey, you get lucky Isaiah, sometimes. Man. Yeah, but yeah, guys, we're excited. Big week in sports. Lots going on. Last night, the Rams looked awesome. I mean, holy smokes. A lot of offense explosion in that game for actually both teams. And football looks like it's back in L.A., it seems like. Sean McVay bringing it back. And that kind of brings us into our first topic, though, for the morning. We're going to talk a little bit about what do you do coaching-wise in the NFL as far as, like, you know, like, what do you do with, like, I don't know. You can explain this
one. I got this one. All right. So last night it really opened up my eyes. Like, the 49ers looked awesome, right? Even with Brian Hoyer, Kyle Shanahan was looking awesome. Sean McVay and that offense looked explosive. It made me wonder, like, why isn't every team hiring an offensive-minded coach as a head coach? Like, it showed last night, like, how much of an impact it has on young quarterbacks.
It's true. And, you know, I completely agree with this. There are certain exceptions. We're going to talk a little bit about why do teams hire a defensive-minded coach when there's a perfect time. But, like, an example is when your quarterback's so young. That's a big problem that I've seen. And defensive-minded coaches don't tend to do well with a young quarterback or an unsettled quarterback in the NFL.
Unproven.
And like Cleveland is a huge example in their past.
But like right now, Hugh Jackson, offensive coordinator from the Bengals. Even DeShone Kizer was looking pretty nice. Like Kyle Hogan was looking good. And last year, their quarterback from USC, Cody Kessler, he was looking really good last year. Even though the Browns weren't that good, you could say that the quarterbacks played pretty well, even though it was for Cleveland they played well. Another situation, like the Jets. What are you doing? Like, you fire Todd Bowles right now if I was the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
He was a great defensive coach in Arizona, but it looks like right now the Jets are going to have a top five pick. There's really great quarterbacks.
Rosen, every year it seems like they have one. Yeah.
And Darnold. And if you have a top five pick, you fire Bowles right away because you need a quarterback-minded coach to teach these young guys because the quarterbacks coming out of college aren't ready with the spread offenses. There's little to none pro-style offensive left in college football.
Yeah, it's kind of ridiculous the amount of defensive-minded coaches that there are out there in the NFL right now. I'll say a prime example here. Chuck Pagano has been a defensive coordinator his whole life.
Yeah.
They gave him the job in Indianapolis. And I'm not saying that he's not a great head coach. I'm not saying that he just doesn't fit what they're doing right now. They ended up hiring him, drafting Andrew Luck. And it's like, you have a really, really good rookie quarterback here in the NFL who's got the tools, man, to be the dude out there as far as like a playmaker. And you hire Chuck Pagano, who has no idea what he's doing with quarterbacks.
None.
And it's just not working out. And that's the problem. I think Indianapolis is struggling with that. I think a problem, too, was Gus Bradley. They drafted, and I'll say Blake Bortles, you know, as much as people talk bad about him, he's a great.
He has the tools.
He's got the tools. And so they hired Gus Bradley from Seattle, which, I'll be honest, I think that was a tough move for Bradley. I don't think that was even very smart for him to leave there. So hire Gus Bradley. That didn't work out. Another one. Marvin Lewis, man. When was the last time you saw Marvin Lewis make it past the first round of the playoffs?
I think the last time. I don't
know. Exactly.
They haven't won a playoff game in a while.
Yeah, and so Marvin Lewis struggling there. Mm-hmm. That was really tough. Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. They make it to about the wild cards, sometimes they win their division, partly because their division is not very good, and the AFC North. And honestly, the AFC for years, not necessarily now, but the AFC was struggling for wild card teams. They honestly weren't good. Yeah.
Then back to my point, though, like all these young quarterbacks, and you wonder why they don't work, right?
No.
And you look at who their head coach and where they came from. You can argue Andrew Luck's best season was when Chuck Pagano was out due to his cancer.
Exactly.
Like, it sucks that he was out for cancer, but Bruce Arians, an offensive-minded coach.
That, by the way, Bruce is a stud with the offense.
Exactly.
I mean, he's coached every quarterback there is.
Look at Arizona right now with Carson Palmer, resurrected his career in Arizona. Then Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton has the tools. He's shown stuff on film. He hasn't been producing lately, and I think that's on Marvin Lewis. And I think Hugh Jackson leaving was a huge part in Andy Dalton's regression. So you just kind of look at that. Then you look at DeShone Kizer. Like, who thought he was going to be ready out of college? You can give some of that to Hugh Jackson, right?
Nope, completely.
Yeah, and if I'm honestly, starting now, if I was like an owner for the next 10 years or GM, I would not hire a defensive coach, like, regardless. Like, if you have a Pro Bowl quarterback who's capable, who's proven himself, all right, hire a defensive coach, like Chargers. They hired Anthony Lynn. He's a running backs coach, but I could see where they could hire
a defensive
coach.
I see where they're going with that.
Yeah, but if they hired a defensive coach, that would have made sense, like Matt Patricia or someone like that.
They had better options, I think, than Anthony Lynn, but I see what their idea is.
Yeah, but he's
an
offensive-minded coach. I see it.
Exactly.
Then Ken Wisenhunt, he was an offensive-minded coach from Broncos. He came to us, didn't work out well, but now look at Trevor Siemian and that offense.
Yeah. Hey, Ken's had some ups and downs, but, hey, I mean, the dude, he took Arizona to the Super Bowl. I mean, he's got something to back him up.
Oh, yeah, he's our offense coordinator now at L.A. for the Chargers, but I'm talking about drawing blanks on the head coach from last year for the Chargers.
Oh, man.
Mike McCoy.
He
struggled with the Chargers, but now he's offense coordinator back at Denver. Now look at Trevor Siemian.
Yeah.
He's fantasy football league. He's the number one quarterback ranking. You can take that for a grain of salt, but number one quarterback ranking in fantasy football, I'll take that.
There's going to be some guys out there this next offseason that are going to be definitely offensive coordinators that are going to be available for head coaching jobs. Josh McDaniels is going to be one prime example. But I mean, that
you
guy,
hire that dude.
You hire him, you give him the money, and you send him to wherever you need. I mean, honestly, like, I'd take him in like Chicago even or something or New York.
Exactly. It's another, like, another. Yeah. John Fox, defensive-minded coach.
Yeah.
What's Chicago doing? You fire that coach right now. They should have kept on to Adam Gase.
Yeah,
now look at him with the Miami, with a quarterback like Mitchell Trubisky. You keep an offensive-minded coach like that to mold. Because now look at Jared Goff. Everyone was writing him off last year. I was too. You were too. Mm-hmm. I was like, you don't pick him. He doesn't have it. But he had Jeff Fisher as his head coach. When's the last time that guy wasn't 8-8?
That's another one on my list right
here. Exactly.
Jeff Fisher, I mean, he had it in Tennessee a little bit and St. Louis a little bit. But you have to remember.
Quarterbacks.
I mean, he's got Steve McNair, and he also had Kurt Warner.
Kurt Warner.
You can't really beat that. I mean, it's like. So
that's what I'm saying, though. But
tough,
like,
situation, and then they go on the drafting Jared Goff. I'm sorry, but Jeff Fisher's not going to train that guy the same way that McVay will.
No,
I mean, it's like not even close.
And like, as a GM, you need to realize that now, as quick as possible. You need to realize that like as quick as possible. And what I'm saying is, like, Matt Patricia, great defense coach. If any team that hires him without a Pro Bowl quarterback, I'm gonna write them off for the next 3 years. It's not gonna work out. I don't care how great of a defensive coach you are.
No,
it just doesn't work out.
Exactly. Look at Gus Bradley. I'm telling you, he was one of the best defensive coordinators in the NFL that the year they won the Super Bowl. Decides to take the money and go to Jacksonville. I don't care. It doesn't matter who you have. It's not gonna work out for a little bit. And they did have a good defense that year, which is fine. But they couldn't score.
No, they couldn't score. Yeah. Then look at Dan Quinn. Worked perfect situation of when you should hire a defensive coach.
Yeah, exactly.
Matt Ryan, he's proven himself. He was number one overall pick. He made Pro Bowls. And the thing that was lacking for their team was just defense.
Exactly.
So Dan Quinn brought that attitude. He hired the right guys. And there's certain time, like, if you have a Pro Bowl quarterback, you can hire a defensive-minded coach. But if you don't, like...
Here's another exception. Mike Tomlin, defensive-minded guy. And in Pittsburgh, you know, with Ben Roethlisberger, that was fine. Tomlin's won the Super Bowl with them.
Yeah.
But yep. I can tell you today that Tomlin's on the hot seat a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Hasn't done much since then. Definitely. Really hasn't done much since then. But I'm just going to look at, like, the stats here. Look at this. Three of the last 12 Super Bowl champs head coaches have been defensive-minded. Three of the last 12. That means nine of them have been offensive-minded guys or just been just good head coaches in the league.
Oh, yeah.
And so, I mean, it's kind of crazy. I'm looking here. Bill Cowher back in the day. We're going back to – Bill Cowher. Super Bowl 40. Yeah. So this is going back a while.
Yep.
Mike Tomlin Mike Tomlin and Bill Cowher. So the Pittsburgh guys, they have their kind of
– They're just – Yeah. They have.
And then Tony Dungy's the other exception.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to remember he had Peyton Manning.
Mm-hmm.
So exactly.
All-time quarterback.
And that's it. That's all I can see for the past 12 years right there. Everyone else is a defensive or offensive-minded coach. New England, and you got to talk about the New England. Denver. It's like they had offensive-minded guys, and they're scoring points.
And that's why it worked. And like, I get it, the defense wins championships, but
if you not can't defensive-minded points, coaches. Like,
yeah, I'm sorry. If it was 0-0, if it was 0-0, no one's gonna win the game. You need to score a point. And I'll be honest. We're gonna wrap this up, but. Another person that we can talk about, like molding young quarterbacks into like getting the best out of them. No one's talking about it, but everyone's talking about Andy Dalton and how he's regressing, right? He made the Pro Bowl a couple years ago and regressing. You know what I'm saying? Who might be the next Andy Dalton? Yep. Russell Wilson.
Hey, we'll see. You know, it's a...
Pete Carroll's not on the hot seat, but they need to do something about... They need to help someone out. They need to find someone, an offensive-minded guru, to help out Russell Wilson.
They do. Or at least an offensive coordinator. Bevel's not getting it done,
No,
man.
He's not. Yeah. And neither is Cable.
All right. Well, we're going to head into the break, though. We got lots in store for you today. We're going to come back and talk about a little bit of, you know, when you got it and when you don't. And we're talking about NFL players in the draft and when they come into the league, and if you can tell right away if someone's got it or if they don't. We'll be back, though, folks. Stay with us. Again, if you want to call in today, 253-535-7332. Check us out. Give us a call. We'd love to talk some sports with you. We're going to head to the break. Hey, yo, listen what I say. All right, welcome back, Agency Sports. We love talking sports with you Friday mornings. Hi, Neil Lou here. Carson Barnett, we're on to our next topic. But again, if you guys want to call in, give us a call at 253-535-7332. Again, that's 253-535-7332. Love to have callers on the line. And listen on Laser Radio here at PLU has a lot of great broadcasts throughout the week. Christian Bond, I know Dylan Foreman and his crew have DJ Winter have something going on. So Laser Radio, guys, you could check it out, plu.edu, look up Laser Radio. It's something special, guys. So check it out. Lots of sports broadcasts throughout the week. Love for you guys to tune in to the others too. We give them a lot of credit as well. But our next topic here, we're going to talk a little bit about the NFL draft and about some players that we feel just, you can tell either you got it or you don't. And I remember Colin Cowherd brought a guy on, Eric Mangini, kind of about they asked him this question, when can you tell after you draft a guy whether they really got it or they just don't have it? And Eric Mangini said this, he's like, you could tell day one if whether or not they're a dog or not. And there's some guys out there in the NFL that we feel they're dogs, and we feel that there's some guys that just don't have it. And you know, what do you think on this, Ina? What do you got to say?
Alrighty. So before I say anything, quick shout out to Dominic Cosmo listening back home in San Diego. Quick shout out. Your fantasy football team is not that good, but thanks for listening. All right, so I love this topic, right? Either you got it or you don't. So the more I was thinking about it, the more I was realizing like how certain positions you can give, like you can make a quick judgment, either he has or he doesn't, like a linebacker. Either he can hit someone in the mouth or he can't. But quarterbacks, as we were talking about, like progressions, like it takes the right coach, right system. So I'm going to just throw that out there because quarterbacks, it takes a while to realize if they have it or they don't. But like with running backs, stuff like that, like you just realize like Justin Gilbert, cornerback out of Oklahoma State for the Steelers, when the Cleveland Browns drafted him, it literally took one game for me to watch. This guy can't cover. This guy can't even punt return. And that's basically why they also drafted him. When I was seeing, this guy is not a hitter. He can't cover the number one wide receiver, and he was drafted 8th overall in 2014. So, Carson, what are, like, name some players you think have it or they don't out of this recent NFL draft class.
Out of this recent NFL draft class, here's what I'm going to say. Reuben Foster should have been a top 10 pick. And I'll say this until I die. Reuben Foster should have been a top 10 pick in this year's NFL draft. I don't care if that guy was in jail when he was drafted.
No.
That guy is flat out one of the best defensive linebackers I've seen in the past 10 years.
That guy was the best player in the draft.
No, he's no
the best
doubt.
Player on the San Francisco 49ers right now.
And he's not even playing in the games.
He's like, the best player right now.
I'm dead serious. That guy should have been a top 10 pick, and it drives me nuts. It's almost like you watch this whole offseason about the Boston Celtics and how just annoying this stink of GM Danny Ainge was. But this is driving me nuts, man. Reuben Foster should have been the top 10 pick in the NFL. Should have been like a top five. I would have taken one other guy ahead of him, Jamal Adams, because he flat out has it.
Yeah.
Man.
Oh, he has it too. Yep.
But,
he's a baller.
But no, there's no question. Like I would have drafted him ahead of Solomon Thomas. I'm serious. This guy he has it, man. He has, and thankfully San Francisco got him and Thomas, so it worked out fine for them. But wow, I don't get some of the GMs out there. Who doesn't have it? I'm gonna say right now, Malik Hooker. He flat out for me. The guy hasn't even played. Like he's straight up like
he got a little bit. He got an interception last week.
He did. But like he was hurt all the training camp. I'm just not a huge Malik Hooker fan. He plays a little too savvy. Not what I'm looking for right there. Mike Williams, another one.
Whoa.
You're a Chargers.
All right, let's
but
hear
I was
this,
never then. A huge Mike Williams fan. Never, even at Clemson. Now he made big plays and
he made
like,
big
in
plays when you did it.
He did. Yeah. But runs his routes real slow.
Really?
Okay. I think so. Doesn't run great routes.
All right.
I don't know. It's just not a huge fit for me. In LA, I think they could have drafted better than that. They should have probably.
They should have got Reuben Foster.
Exactly.
Let's be honest.
Exactly. Or even Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. That was a tough one for me. There's some picks that I love, and I'll tell you, Reuben Foster's one of them. Mitchell Trubisky, that's another one that I feel like Chicago. You know, if they felt like he was the guy, they did the right move by them moving up one spot for him.
They have the wrong coach for it, though, definitely.
Oh, completely. But I feel like – and then another one that won, Houston, Deshaun Watson. I feel like he's going to pan out. Yeah. He's a winner. And here's what I like to talk about in this topic, if you either have it or you don't. So guys – I was talking about this with someone else yesterday. Guys that win in college – are true winners, and you could tell Deshaun Watson was a true winner in college. Like he just flat out, he had the mentality, he won games. Guys that do that in college tend to do okay for at least a couple seasons in the NFL. And I'm gonna talk. So Tim Tebow was a prime example of this winner, flat out, he could get it done.
But he's on in the NFL, Carson. Come
I know
on
we're talking past though for some of these.
Exactly,
either you got it or you don't. But Tim Tebow was successful for a couple years.
Is he a first-round quarterback? No, he's not. At the end of the day, say what you want. He's not a first-round quarterback. You don't draft him the first round. Another, if we're going to talk about winners, What? Why isn't Kevin Hogan a starter for a quarterback? He doesn't have it. He won a bunch of games in Stanford. Great system. Doesn't have it. Josh Allen is a top five prospect for next year. He got dominated against Oregon.
I don't know if that guy has it or not.
Really?
Yeah.
He has the arm strength. He's just he plays for a D1AA school or a FCS school, Wyoming.
Mm-hmm.
And
we'll see.
What I think is, as a quarterback, like, there's so many more different options, like, so much more that comes into one team that I don't like that whole stigma, like, winners are winners, because Vince Young, look at him, won the Rose Bowl.
He had a good couple seasons.
Would you draft him in the first round?
Going back, no.
Okay. He doesn't have it. Okay. And if we're going to talk about that.
But here's the thing. Position-wise, what would you do? So as far as a position-wise, how do you go about this if you're a GM or a head coach in the NFL with, I have a linebacker that doesn't have it, when do I get let go of him?
Oh, first year. Okay. Linebacker.
But then there's different when you have a quarterback.
Yeah, and I think everyone knows that. So, but, like, there's other positions, like...
Receiver, you let him go, man.
It's you like, let him go. You,
it's like, you, that's a flat
you
out
You admit
no.
it, you take it to the heart, yeah. and he doesn't have it. Yeah. A lineman. I'm sorry. DJ Fluker? Like, Charger fans out there listening, what are your guys' opinion on DJ Fluker in our O-line? Call in right now, 253-535-7332. Dominic, call. All right, but DJ Fluker didn't have it. And we knew that from the – by week eight, I was like, why is this guy still in the starting lineup? And I think, honestly, that the pick – like, GMs can't admit it. Like, they can't. Craig Mager. Our third-round corner from 2015, North Texas State, I believe,
mm-hmm.
doesn't have it.
No.
And somehow he still made the final roster 3 years. Like, it's a cornerback. Either he can cover or he can't. And we cut a bunch of players who I think played way better than him, like Trayvon Reed. But I think their pride, the GM's pride, is the reason why he's still on the team. So either... you have it or you don't. And my guys who have it, and I was calling it all the way before, is Cooper Kupp.
Completely.
I don't care that he ran a 4.62 or 4.65. It wasn't the fastest.
Doesn't matter. I don't care if he ran a 5 flat. The guy gets it done.
He gets open. Yeah. At the end of the day, he gets open. And I think I saw a stat in week one that he ran past a guy for a touchdown who ran a 4.32 in the NFL Combine this year. This year, that cornerback that he ran past, 4.32 or 4.36, I believe. And that
doesn't
just
matter, man. Like, the guy scores touchdowns. He's got mentally. And here's what I'm talking about: when you have it or you don't. It's about the mental game.
Oh yeah,
is what
awareness.
It is. It's like, I've been to a lot of training camps for the Seahawks. And we're gonna talk a little Seahawks here because Seattle fans around in this area. But certain guys that I've seen that just don't have it, man. It's like they're just not ready to be. The guy for Seattle or the guy in the NFL. And a prime example here, Chris Matthews. Prime example. Guy had an amazing Super Bowl 49 game against New England. Played lights out. The game before that, even against Green Bay, had an amazing onside kick recovery. But the guy in training camp, I knew right away the next year after Super Bowl 49 – this was Super Bowl 50 year. He's there. I'm watching. I'm like, okay, let's see if Chris Matthews is ready to play or not. Flat out, I could say from day one, that guy did not have it. Yeah. And it's because they just run slower. Like he looked heavier. He looked like he didn't care.
No.
And it's like that's when you know right away if a guy's got it or not. Like, it's just the mental, like how lazy they are on the field.
Yeah. And another thing I'll say. Fans, like, I went to the NFL training camp for the Chargers a couple years ago, and this is after we signed Jacoby Jones, right?
Yeah.
And I went with my friend Dominic. We went to the training camp.
Who's listening right now?
Who's probably listening right now, hopefully, and he can testify to this. We were on the fence. We were watching it, and we were watching Jacoby Jones. And my friend Dominic was like, "Yo, Jacoby Jones is gonna be such a great pick for
us."
Right after the Super Bowl. And he kept saying, like, dude, Jacoby Jones is going to be a beast. And I was like, dude, he doesn't have, like, I was like, he had some big plays in the Super Bowl when everyone was watching, but he doesn't have it. And they were running a like a hitch drill, like where you had to go around the PVC pipe and duck down, and he just looked stiff. And
this guy flat out killed it in the Super Bowl the year before.
And he just looking stiff, turning the corner, and my friend Dominic looked at me, he's like, whoa, that was bad. And you see Keenan Allen, a third round pick from Cal, runs it perfectly. And he's like, all right, Keenan Allen's going to be a beast. And just little stuff like that, like coaches are with these players every single day watching these drills. Mm-hmm. And like, I wouldn't want to like throw off someone from June drills, but it has a lot to do with it. And coaches just got to be honest with themselves and just not look at past year's production, not look when they were picked, and just look at production. And that's, I hate that in football. Like, some people just look at people who started the last couple years, look where they were drafted and what they did in college, and just will not move them and not give other people chances. And it just grinds my gears.
Completely. You know, I think, you know, if you're talking about that, that whole Jacoby Jones deal, a prime example here, all the Hard Knocks fans out there with Tampa Bay, watching this whole season this year, Jeremy McNichols, man,
doesn't have
it's like I know he was a fifth round pick from Boise State and all this stuff, but like that guy just mentally was not there. It's like
mentally he couldn't block anyone.
It's like learn the offense, man. I'm sorry, but
like if other people can learn the offense, so can you. Yeah. Like you got drafted in late April, like it was been a good 4 or 5 months. Yeah. Like it's not
just
that
learn long. To pick up a blitz. It's all you got to do. It's like it's I don't know.
Props to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for cutting a fifth round pick that same year they drafted him. So props to them. Another guy like
Aguayo too was the same
so
way.
So props to the Bucs for admitting the wrongs.
They did well with that.
So they didn't draft a couple good guys, but just other things like you can say Frank Clark, like that guy had it in college.
Exactly.
You don't have to be a genius to know if someone's quick off the line. Yeah. And he was. Same thing with Noah Spence. He went to Ohio. These guys just have it. Like there's some guys.
They're dogs.
They're
man.
Dogs. It doesn't take a genius to watch it. Like, I'm watching Ohio State play. Sam Hubbard has it. This guy is quick. Like, you can't teach quick at
Completely.
The end of the day. Like, you can't teach it. Nick Bosa has it. There's these players in the college football, either you know it, they have it, or they don't.
And there's a couple Michigan guys, too.
Oh, Bush, Rashawn Gary.
They're just another level past these guys.
Another level. Yeah. And it doesn't take a chance. Like, that's what I love about Reuben Foster is, like, you could bring someone in who didn't know anything about football and just have him watch Clemson and say, all right, after this game, tell me who you think is one of the better players, one of the top five players on the field. And they would say, oh, Reuben Foster. That guy was making plays. He helicoptered Deshaun Watson. This guy is running sideline to sideline.
He's just an animal.
He's a dog.
They'll get me started on him.
He's a dog. And then there's other people like Jonathan Allen. Like, I liked where the Redskins drafted him at 19, but I was hearing stuff like he's going to be the first overall pick. And that guy wasn't making splashes. Like, that's a guy who, he reminds me of like a Ford Fusion. Just going to get the job done. You want to brag about it.
Yeah.
You want to brag about it, but you'd like to have one. It's a nice car.
Yeah, it's fine.
But it doesn't make a flash.
At the end of the day, is Jonathan Allen going to win you a Super Bowl?
No.
Probably not.
At the end of the day, no.
But he's going to help you when you're there. And
yeah,
it's going to be
he's
okay.
He's
going
to make a play here and there. But
And for some teams, that's okay because they're already set up to be in that situation.
Yeah. So but I liked where the Redskins drafted him. But there's a couple people who they have it or they don't. And the GMs need to be honest with themselves. The coaches need to be honest with themselves. Because, like, I kept hearing this is the make-it-or-break-it year for Jared Goff. And honestly, it was.
It was, yeah.
Because if you can't do it with Sean McVay, who can you do it with?
Exactly. And another guy here, we're going to head to the break here soon, but I'd like to mention one thing on this topic. Carson Wentz, man. The thing, so he has it. And obviously, he his first year, he needed to be adjust to the system.
Yeah.
But that guy, like, I'll flat out say, mentally, he had it in college. I know people were doubting him because he came from a small school, but Carson Wentz was by far. If I were to go redraft that draft, I think the Rams should have taken Carson Wentz. But
all right,
that's a whole nother topic. We got to head to the break, though, here shortly.
One quick shout-out real quick. Another person that did not have it was Manti Te'o.
No.
He got drafted in the second round. He just didn't have it. Like, within 8 games, we're like, dude, how's this guy still on our team? And it's, you know what? Why? It's because he had the second round draft label on him. And our GM just couldn't admit it to themselves. DJ Fluker, we cut him after the first year. I'm tired of that guy. That guy didn't have it.
No.
There's a bunch of people who didn't have it. And I'm sorry. I'll say it. Jason Verrett, Pro Bowl talent. How many games has he played in the last, like, 20 games? He probably played 4 games. Like, this guy, I'm sorry. If I was a Chargers, I'd cut him. I don't care if he wins a Super Bowl in the next 5 years. This guy does not get on the field.
So we're going to head to the break here. Great topic we just had. We got another one set up for you. Tabby, you will be not in the next session, but session after that, we're going to make our picks. But our next topic, we're going to keep it in the NFL area. We're going to talk a little bit about the 0-2 teams and the 2-0 teams out there. So we're gonna talk about our best 0-2 team has the best chance to kind of make the playoffs or at least be in the contention, and our 2-0 team that we just absolutely don't like right now. And so we'll be back shortly, folks. Thanks for listening today. Again, if you'd like to call in, 253-535-7332. We'll be back. I'm unstoppable today. All right, welcome back. HSC Sports, Heina Alou, Carson Barnett. We got a great topic coming in store for you guys for our third topic today. We're going to talk a little bit about the NFL still. Keep it in that area. 0-2, best 0-2 team and the worst 2-0 team out there.
To make the playoffs.
To make the playoffs, at least as far as their chances are to stay in contention. We had a little debate about this last night. But Heina, what's your take on some of this right now? And as far as like the best 0-2 team out there,
The best 0-2 team out there. I'm gonna get some heat from this, but I don't think it's my Chargers to make the playoffs because every other team in the AFC West is already 2-0.
Exactly.
That AFC West is loaded.
Very loaded.
So my team that's 0-2 that's gonna make it. That has the best chance of the Giants.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was going to say right there.
I think it's the Giants.
What's your take on this? Like, keep talking.
I think the Giants are going to make it because, first of all, they have the best football player in the NFL, Odell Beckham, as a wide receiver. But every other team's only 1-1, so they're only one game back. And quick shout out to Bryson Messner for listening. Appreciate the support. And, but yeah, I think the Giants have the best chance of making the playoffs this year.
I really do. I completely agree with that. I think the NFC East just beats up on each other, number one. The Cowboys are good. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong. They're a great team. But I just don't know. They beat a lot of the Redskins, Philly, the Giants, the Cowboys. They all just beat up on each other. Mm-hmm. Nobody's standing out right now. Even the Cowboys.
No,
nope. They're not.
Eagles either.
No, I mean, it's like, and as bad as the Giants have played, they have the best chance by far of those 0-2 teams to make the playoffs. The best roster, though, is the Chargers, no doubt.
Oh, yeah.
The Chargers have the best roster out of all those 0-2 teams.
Yeah, they just it just sucks that they're in the AFC West.
They're just the most unlucky team right now in the NFL. Mm-hmm. They completely have the best roster. Like, the AFC West is just loaded.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the Chargers, though, so far they're 10th in the NFL in passing and 3rd in defense, and they're 0-2. It just sucks, man. Mm-hmm. Like, that's hard. I mean, the third best defense out there. Bosa's killing it.
Ingram.
Their D-line is loaded. Their offensive line's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
They're throwing the ball. They got to run the ball better. I'll say that. But as far as the best 0-2 team, that's no doubt the Chargers. I would not want to play them.
They almost beat Denver the Cowboys got demolished.
When Denver is definitely one of the best September football teams, September and October, they play really well at home. That's not who you want to play in Denver in September.
No.
And so
props to the Chargers. Chargers definitely have the best 0-2 record team, but they're in the AFC West, which is loaded. My team that's has the worst chance of making the playoffs, who's 2-0, I'm going to say it, and I think it's the Ravens. I think, first of all, I think the AFC West is going to have three teams come out of their division that are going to make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Which those three teams are, I don't know. Hopefully it's the Chargers. But the Ravens, first of all, they have Joe Flacco as their quarterback. Yes, he won one Super Bowl, but the lights came out. Crazy things happen. I think the Steelers are going to figure it out. The Steelers are going to beat them. Bengals and the Browns, those teams, we just locked them in for a top 10 pick right now. The coaches, start looking at the college football players. Start watching college game day. Your season's over.
Mm-hmm. Completely.
The Browns, you guys are going to get demolished by the Colts. I don't care who their quarterback is. They're going to get demolished. The Ravens, I just don't think their roster is that well, like that efficient. Their offense. Carson, who's the running back right now?
Couldn't even tell you, man. It's like it's new every week. Like
it's new every week. Name the starting wide receiver for the Ravens right now.
I can't think of it off the top of my head.
Name their tight end.
I completely agree with that. That's by far.
I don't know. They have Eric Weddle. They have Tony Jefferson. Props to them, San Diego. But I don't think they're going to make it. I don't know how they've won two games. They barely beat the Browns.
Oh, complete. That's the one I was thinking of, too. Baltimore, it's just hard because they're in such a – they have – and I know Cincinnati's struggling right now, but Cincinnati's – and that's an okay football team.
No, see, that's hype right there.
But they can beat the Ravens is what I'm trying to say.
No. You're just saying that because they made the playoffs last – that's hype right there. And that's exactly what we've been talking about. The Bengals
I think the Bengals – they're – okay, they're not horrible, and then Pittsburgh, that's obviously in the division. I'll give Pittsburgh the win in that division.
Yeah,
it's just that's an easy one for me. So the Ravens defensively, they're okay, can't score offensively. I think it's a little bit of a hot seat right now for John Harbaugh.
No,
he's just not getting it done.
No,
sorry, I know I love the name, but he. And he's got a great brother, but it's just not
it doesn't
it's not
have
cutting
it
for me.
Not right now.
Yeah. And so the Ravens, another team that I'd be careful with right now, and it's hard to say, Detroit Lions.
Ooh, the Lions. So you don't think the Lions – okay.
I don't know. And it's hard because they're in such a tough division with Green Bay. They have a fairly tough schedule the rest of the season. And then you forget about Minnesota too. So they have Green Bay and Minnesota and then Detroit. And Detroit – surprised some teams last year, made the playoffs. They just, I don't know, man. It's hard to say with Matthew Stafford leading them. It's real hard to be a Detroit fan right now or a 2-0 Detroit fan right now saying, oh, we're going to make the playoffs.
I don't know. The Packers, yeah, they got demolished by the Falcons, so I'm not trying to overreact on them, but Minnesota, like when's Sam Bradford going to play? He might not even play this week.
I know.
The Bears. Throw the Bears out. Top 10 pick right there. But the Packers, I don't know, man. I like the Lions. If the Lions win this game, right, this is a big game for them right now.
It is.
Because if they can beat the Falcons, who are quick.
If the Lions are 3-0, watch out. But if they lose this week, and it's not even if they lose. It's going to be it's the way they play against Atlanta. Because this is going to be this is a huge test for them. All right, so we got to hit the break real quick. We'll be back in a couple of minutes. Tabby U is coming in our next segment.
Starting cornerback on our team.
For
right
Pacific
there.
Lutheran University, Tabby U. We're excited to have him for our picks. So that's our next segment. We're going to talk a little bit about the college football, or our one college football pick and our five NFL picks for the week. We'll be back, folks. Thanks for listening to us today. So if you want to call in again, 253-535-7332. We'll be back. All right, we're back, folks. HNC Sports here. Hi, Nalu, Carson Barnett. We're about to make our picks, and our special guest, we'd love to welcome on Tabby U.
Thank you, guys, for having me.
Corner for the football team, Tabby. We're about to make some awesome picks here for this week. Big week in sports ahead of us. Kind of hard to find some college football games, but we did it, and there's actually a big one that people don't really think of, but we're excited to make our picks here. Tabby, you got anything to say for the fans out there?
You know, thank you guys for listening. This is going to turn out to be a great radio show, so just tune in every week. Just make sure.
Yeah, thanks, Tabby. All right, guys, we're going to start off with our first pick of the week. This is going to be our college football game. Big game that people don't really think of. Mississippi State, ranked 17th in the country, playing at Georgia. What do you guys think on this one? I know what I have.
All right, Tabby, I'll let the guest go first.
All right, man. So I lost some sleep over this one. I've always been a big Georgia fan, especially with Jacob Eason. But, you know, I was thinking he's out. Their starting cornerback is also out. And we all know here at POU that cornerback is a very important position.
And, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
You know, and I'm not just, you know, tooting my own horn. And Jake Fromm, like, I mean, they're both 3-0. Jake Fromm, he's been playing okay. I mean, he's playing all right. But on this one, man, I'm going to have to go with Mississippi State.
Ooh,
I'm going with
the
underdog. Yeah. I like Georgia, but, you know, I like Nick Chubb as well. But Mississippi State, they have a quarterback. He's got legs. His name's Nick Fitzgerald. And he's a dude, man. So I think their defense is stout, but I think Mississippi State, man, I think they're going to pull through.
All right. I'm also going to go with Mississippi State because a lot of people are overreacting, in my opinion, over Georgia's win over Notre Dame.
Completely.
So I think you have Mississippi State, too, here, Tabby.
I think people don't realize, but this is probably one of the biggest games of the year for both of these teams. Mississippi State probably needs this more than Georgia, but this is a huge game for both teams because if anybody's going to compete with Alabama, I'm sorry, but nobody else in the SEC West is going to compete with Alabama except for Mississippi State. They need it more. It's going to be rocking in Georgia, though, I'll tell you that. But I think I'm going to go with Mississippi State. They've been playing awesome offensively, scoring tons of points. Mississippi State in Georgia, it's going to be a real close one. It's going to come down to the wire. Honestly, think overtime for this game, but Mississippi State's going to pull it out.
Also, I just want to add that, like, I think it's really impressive that Georgia was able to beat Notre Dame, but Mississippi State destroyed LSU.
Oh, it wasn't even close.
Like, demolished them. And I was like, wow, this team is real. They're rolling off that Dak momentum they still got.
Yeah, it completely. So we're going to head now to the NFL picks for the week. We got five of them. We like to mention, too, that we're having a little competition in here between Hina and myself for our records, and then we're bringing in, obviously, an email guest every week. So we're going to add up all of their records combined. Right now, they're in the lead.
Yep, right now.
I'm sorry, but Hina and I have just – we struggled last week, man. We were
Shout
just
out
waiting.
To Isaiah.
We were waiting for that Dallas-Denver game, and it just never really pulled through for us.
Yeah, so I'm 3-3 with my picks. Yeah. Carson Barnett's 2-4, and Isaiah is 4-2.
So
the Emols right now have a lead on us. So, Tabby.
Yeah.
So, Tabby, I think you got this.
So, we're going to head – so the NFL picks of the week – we're going to start off our first one, Houston at New England. What do you think, Tabby? We're going to let you go first.
It's a very easy pick for me. I'm a big Colts fan, so, you know, representing AFC South for Houston. But you cannot bet against Brady and Belichick. So, you know, I'm going to just leave it at that. Last game, good for Houston. They won a game. They barely beat the Bengals,
barely. Yeah.
But the Bengals are awful. So, you know, that just speaks for itself. New England all the way.
I think I'm also going to go with New England. Jadeveon Clowney, J.J. Watt don't have a single sack this year. It's been two games only, but if we're going to talk about how great of pass rushers they are, I'm sorry, get a sack. So I'm also going to go with New England on this.
That's a good way to put it. But, yeah, New England, that's going to be a sweep all around. Brady played lights out last week. He didn't even have anybody to throw to. I mean, holy smokes, I could have played better receiver than some of those
guys. Let's not get carried ahead of ourselves.
But New England all the way. They're by two touchdowns at least. And so our next pick for the week, Seattle at Tennessee. This is a huge one for the Seahawks. Actually, a big one for Tennessee too. Who do you think? Let's start over here with Hina on this one. What do you think?
First of all, I am wearing a Seattle Seahawks shirt right now, but like I've said again, I don't think their offense isn't that good. Russell Wilson is on the decline, and they need to get someone better, like as a coach to help him. I think he's the best quarterback for them right now. But I'm going to go with Tennessee right now. Tennessee with this pick.
Okay. Tabby?
For those of you who don't know me, I'm not a big Seahawks fan. I've never liked them, never will. I've met Russell Wilson. Not a big fan, but that's a story for another time.
Love to have you back and talk about that one.
But on the other hand, Tennessee is an up-and-coming team. I think they're going to be really good. Shout-out AFC South. However, the Seahawks are literally the luckiest team I have ever seen in my life.
Yep.
And somehow, in some way, no matter how many interceptions Russell throws, they, you know, end up finding out how to win a game, and good for them. That's awesome. I hate to say it, but I'm going to go Seahawks in this one.
Okay. That's a good pick.
I like that.
I am a Seahawks fan, a big one, and this is not going to come from a fan here making this pick. This is coming from a sports analysis part, and I really think Seattle, better roster here. They're going on the road. They need this game. It's going to be tough coming back 1-2, coming back home if you're Seattle. I think Seattle on the road, this can be a really close game. They win by a field goal. I'm calling 24-21 in Tennessee. Seahawks win. All right, next pick for the week, Atlanta at Detroit. This is big 2-0 matchup.
Mm-hmm.
Who you got? I'll start this one off. Atlanta, they're good, and they're back, and this is no Super Bowl drought kind of thing for them. Like I said earlier, not a huge Detroit Lions fan, but tough to go against them. But I will this time. Atlanta Falcons on the road. I think Matt Ryan's going to carry this game. They win by one score in Detroit. That's my call for the week. Tabby, what do you think?
All right. In any normal situation, I think I'd go with the Falcons because they're stacked all throughout as a team. But you know what? I'm going to go with the money. You know, I'm going to follow the money.
Oh, all right.
And Matt Stafford, he's paid, and he's got to play
like he's paid.
And honestly, I'm not really that big a fan of the Lions either. I think they're just always been a really weird team.
Mm-hmm.
Just no identity.
Yeah.
You know? And all they could do now is throw. Their defense actually last year and this year, that's pretty stout. Like it's pretty good. And you know, I'm gonna go with my gut, and I think the Lions are gonna pull through.
Okay.
All right, I'm gonna go with my gut too, and I'm gonna go with Atlanta Falcons because first of all, that defense is so fast.
Oh my gosh.
So quick. And it looks like they haven't missed a beat on offense. So I'm gonna go with the Falcons on this one.
No Super Bowl drought there, I don't think. But our next pick, Heine's gonna love this one. Kansas City, 2-0. At the really good 0-2 Los Angeles Chargers. What do you think, Heine? I'll start with you. Big Chargers fan over there. What do you think?
I think the Chargers have the best roster in the AFC West. They just haven't been able to pull through. I'm sorry for the kicker. But I think the Chargers are going to surprise the entire world with this game.
Completely.
Kareem Hunt, fantasy football, don't start him. I'm sorry. Do not start him. Tyreek Hill, don't start him. We're going to shut them down.
Alex Smith,
don't start him.
Yeah, okay.
The Chargers are going to whoop on the Kansas City Chiefs. So I'm going to go with the Chargers on this one.
All right. Tabby, what do you think?
Wow. I mean, that didn't sound biased at all. Before I pick, one shout-out, I just want to say, Chargers, you made the biggest mistake of your life for cutting Jamal Jones, GK alum. I just want to point that out. Whoever team, you know, whatever NFL team is listening, I want you to pick him up because he is the dude.
And he's a baller.
Jamal Jones. He really is.
He's a great player.
Now, you know, switching back to the game, I think that Alex Smith is playing out of his mind. I think he's really tired of being called a game manager, you know, always being on a hot seat, even though he's a pretty good quarterback. Mm-hmm. And this year he's really shown it.
Mm-hmm.
And the Chiefs, they
did your
have
research. I like this.
They've always had a really good defense and still do. And now they have Tyreek Hill. He's an intangible. Like, no other team has someone like him. Kareem Hunt, I didn't even know who this dude was before, that season opener against the Patriots, but he's a dude.
He's
a good football player.
I'm sorry, Heine, man, but they have all the things I think that you want in a playoff team and maybe even a Super Bowl contender.
Ooh.
So if Alex Smith keeps playing like how he does, backed up by that defense, shout out to Marcus Peters, UW, I'm going to have to go with the Chiefs.
Okay. And for me, this is hard because the Chiefs are really good, and I'm not gonna lie, they have a shot for the Super Bowl, or at least to be in the AFC Championship. But they're coming off a huge high right now. They're 2-0. They're playing against a really, really good LA Chargers team. In LA, I'm going to have to go with the Chargers on this one.
Ooh.
And I think LA is going to win in a close game here. Defensively, I think they're good enough to beat the Chiefs. They're at home.
The Chargers win by three on this one, just a field goal in this game. It's gonna be surprisingly higher scoring than you think with both defenses. I think it's gonna probably be 20-23 or something, and I'm going LA at home for this. So to wrap up our show, we're gonna talk about the big Monday night game, Dallas at Arizona, both 1-1. What do you think? Tabby, we'll start with you.
That's a tough one. Also, both really good teams, but it kind of seems like Arizona's kind of going downhill a little bit.
Completely.
Besides their DBs, they just got Buddha, and he's a stud. Add that with the Honey Badger, Patrick Peterson.
Patrick Peterson.
That's DBU right there. On the other side, if I recall last week, the Cardinals played the Colts, you know, my squad, and they won in overtime by a field goal. The Colts have Jacoby Brissett. He's been there for like 3 days.
3 days.
I mean, he's a stud. I really like him. Mm-hmm. But I really don't know. This Cardinal team doesn't really seem to have an identity, and they seem to be kind of falling apart. On the other hand, you have the Cowboys that, you know, got the butts kicked. Mm-hmm. But that Broncos defense is even better than the Cardinals defense. Mm-hmm. Like, they're no joke. They have my favorite pair of cornerbacks, Chris Harris Jr. and Aqib Talib.
Yep.
And Trevor Siemian, I've been I'm a huge Colts fan, so I like Peyton Manning, rooted for the Broncos. And Trevor Siemian, I've always liked him. He's just a smooth dude, just knows how to play. And with that being said, the Cowboys were just overwhelmed, but I guess against the Cardinals, I think they're taking it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm also going to go with Dallas on this. I don't like the Cardinals that much. Carson Palmer needs to just have his 401k. Do something. He needs to retire. He needs to just give it up. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Dallas on this one as well.
I agree. We're going to have a sweep here. Dallas on the road. I think they need this one bad. They just came off a tough loss at Denver, and Denver's tough to beat. Dallas actually, they struggled in that game, but Dallas is a great football team. They're going to go on the road. I'm not a huge Arizona fan this year. Not a huge NFC West fan this year as much as I am for the Seahawks. Dallas on the road. They need this one bad. It's going to be a close game, though, on Monday night, probably by one score. Dallas Cowboys. That's what I'm taking. So that's our picks for the week. We thank you so much for coming on the show, Tabby. We're excited for your season and the rest of the PLU football season as we actually start a game in a couple weeks at home against UPS. Holy smokes, it's been like
it's forever. Gonna be 3 weeks.
Yeah,
we play.
Since we've ever like we haven't even touched the field in 3 weeks.
I might have forgotten how to tackle.
Exactly.
Honestly.
Yeah. So, but we want to thank you so much for coming on the show.
No, thank you guys.
Yeah, appreciate that, Tabby. But we want to just say quickly, 10:30 Friday. You can listen to us, HNC Sports, Hinalu, Carson Barnett. We'll have another email on the show next week. We're really excited for this whole pick thing we're doing with the emails against us, and we'll just see how much they know, see how much we know, but. We're excited to watch sports this weekend. A big weekend ahead. I love to say go Hawks. I'd love to say go Chargers. We'll see how that works.
Go Colts.
Yeah, yep. And go Colts from Tabby U. You hear that? But thank you guys for listening. We're gonna end the show real quick. But again, thank you, Tabby, for coming on. You got any quick words for us, Hina, before we leave?
Thanks for listening.
All right.
That's it.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Go Hawks.